Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are sipping on a white, and I am not excited, y'all. Didn't you see my face during Friday wind down?
Yes.
When I had to force myself to drink a white.
I'm just saying, like, you was like, I'm not excited about this. I don't even like it already. I'm gonna just tell you how I feel.
From the description, I just don't think I'm gonna like it. I actually haven't tried it yet.
She's coming in with low expectations, y'all.
I am. Y'all know I don't like white. I think if I drink white, my mother-in-law and I were actually talking about this the other day. If I drink white, I would prefer a Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc, because it's drier. Like, that's
so, you know, you could have just said, like, hey, Sheree, let's pick some Sauvignon
Blanc.
No, because
it's not just what, you know, we like to drink. Like, you know, we're supposed to be giving our listeners a wide variety of wines to choose from.
I got like three or four wines. We talked about this.
No, I think so. But the other wine you got was a Chardonnay. I think that one
I think that one be fine.
We are sipping on Ménage à Trois Limelight Pinot Grigio. And this is why I don't think I'm going to like it. Because the description of it is just way too, it's too flavorful.
Yes.
It's refreshing kisses of citrus, aromas of orange blossom, zesty key lime, and juicy apple flavors. And it says that it will make you pucker up.
It don't make me pucker, but it's definitely...
So you said it's a good summer wine.
It's really a nice summer wine. You'll like it with some sangria, I'm going to tell you that.
It's actually not as sweet as I expected.
It's not. It's actually
really green apple-y. I thought it was going to be sweeter. It is. And you know what's really funny? When I was in college, my liquor of choice, which is surprising because my choice of wine is like completely opposite. My liquor of choice was apple martinis, which if you've ever had an apple martini, they are sweet as shit. And
I remember
literally
your birthday party. Yes. Yes.
Like
apple martinis.
I haven't had an apple martini in years. Like, it's been, I don't even know if I could drink an apple martini anymore.
We can find out.
We probably could. Like, Richard used to, like, when we were in college, Richard used to have, because it's made of, like, apple pucker and then vodka. That's all it is. And he would have apple pucker in his room at home at his parents' house. And I would stay over there and, like, literally a bottle of apple pucker, a bottle of vodka, and a shaker because my bougie ass wouldn't drink nothing else.
I just, every time you tell me about something about you and him, I feel like that man just, it shows the love that y'all had.
That he was over here, like, mixing me drinks.
He was over here mixing drinks in his mid-college days.
In his early 20s. He was like 22 making apple pucker. Apple martinis.
That the person he loved and wanted to be with was this bougie bitch. And he was like, I still choose you. It's okay, baby. I got you.
Yeah, my drinks, this is a total tangent. My drinks of, I've never been... For all y'all listening out there, I've never really been into liquor. I've never liked the taste of it. So I'm really not much of an alcohol drinker. Like, wine I'll do all day, but liquor, I just can't get down with it. And so, like, if I do drink liquor, most of the time I just prefer to take shots because it's over with.
Nah.
And I only do shots of vodka or tequila. Like, I don't like dark liquor.
That's why she's crazy and the devil. Because that is literally the opposite. So whereas my tangent is, I have, of course, I love liquor. Love it, love it, love it.
You like dark liquor.
I love dark liquor. Yeah. That's my preferred. However, college, it was rum, vodka. Yeah. It was rum, vodka, tequila, any of it. I don't like the taste of liquor either. How did I do that? I made very strong drinks that was mixed very well.
See, so my drinks have always tasted like juice, and that's why my other friends never wanted to drink my drinks, because they was like, nah, my drinks will have you on your ass.
Like, I literally went from, if I wasn't drinking an apple martini, then it was like a cranberry vodka, and that was like it. Like, that was the only type of drink that I would drink.
I think my go-to now is like dark and Coke, or
yeah.
I can do a pineapple, a pineapple and rum. That's what
I don't like pineapple, which is why I couldn't. I don't like a lot of the like.
I remember I went through a phase where Malibu was my shit.
A lot of people like Malibu. Yeah, that was a thing. That was a thing when we was in college.
It was a thing.
Yeah.
And I just used to be like, it tastes good. It's not too, like, it's not put you on your ass, but it tastes good.
I feel like I could probably get down with, like, adult cocktails now. Because, like, you know, when we was coming up, when we was kids, like, the type of quote-unquote, and I'm making quotes, cocktails wasn't, like, it was just, like, how much liquor can we pour? And like, how dark, how light can the juice be?
Like, how much of a spritz can you have? Yeah. I mean, that's my kind of thing, like, though. I'm sorry.
If I actually went to, like, a craft bar or something like that, where they actually, like, mixed the drink and it had, like, infused, because I'm old and bougie at the same time.
So I just want you to know that you actually made me realize that while you might have been bougie, I was grown way before I should have been, because that's the reason why I like liquor. Because I was the person, me and my friends knew a whole lot of people. We had older friends and stuff. So I remember sitting at the bar, won't say what bar, but we were sitting at the bar at 19 and definitely being served all of the different types of drinks, like, you know, the chocolate cakes and the, yeah, like the different shots and the little different things, to know what it tastes like and which things we like. So I got to experience a well-mixed drink,
yeah,
and a strong drink. So I was like, oh, I know what I like.
When I was pregnant,
I made my own virgin spritzers, because a spritzer makes me feel like I was drinking. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I was like, I'll have a spritzer.
I don't like dark liquor. I've tried Hennessy. I've tried Crown, all that. I just can't get down with it. I'll drink, surprisingly, the only dark that I will drink is rum. And I say that's just because I'm Puerto Rican.
That's so Puerto Rican. No. Let me tell, so excuse
you
me.
You want to tell our Puerto Rican story?
The Puerto Rican story. Excuse me. This trick right here.
So we all went on a girls trip.
To Puerto Rico. And while we were walking through Old San Juan, yep, and like we had to go to the bathroom. So we were like, okay, we got to go. We went into a bar and we were like, you know, there's, you know, you got to buy a shot or something. Okay, cool.
And it went by bar. We use the term bar loosely. Like, it was literally enough room to step into.
It was really like a hole. Like, you know how they say hole in the wall? Like, not for real. It was like wall, hole, a bar. And like liquor around the wall. I was like, okay, cool. But this drink that they poured us,
it was Puerto Rican rum. It was a Puerto Rican brand rum. We brought a shot.
It hit my chest. Oh,
there's four of us, and one of them goes to the bathroom, and then she comes back, and we're like, okay, we're gonna take these four shots. Each of us have a shot. And it's Puerto Rican rum, and it's not Bacardi rum, but it's another island brand rum. And so, like, the girls take it, and all three of them
and I never make a face with rum. It's like, I never make a face. It's like one of those things where it's just like, that thing burned going from my throat down.
I'm like, oh, that was good. Y'all didn't like that.
I was like, Sasha's Puerto Rican. She's home. She's home. The liquor met her and knew that it was where it was supposed to be. I was like, it knew.
I was really like, y'all didn't like that? For real? I thought it was good.
And the thing is, it wasn't that it was bad, but that shit was strong. And like, she had no reaction. I was just like,
oh, like, I could do that.
I was like, okay, so this is now what we know. Like, she didn't even look like, okay, let's get this over with. I was like, okay.
Yeah, and then we also went to the Bacardi factory and did like a whole rum tasting. And like, I think that's when I was able to tell, like, I do like rum, because the different ages of rum, like, I was able to actually taste like good.
To let us know that we are bougie, because the rums that we like were expensive. Aged. They were aged and expensive. They were special edition, limited.
But In any event, what we're drinking today.
That is a good segue to what we're talking about. Because, you know, speaking, our head tangent does tie in.
It does tie in. Because, well, just to reiterate again, we are drinking Ménage à Trois Limelight Pinot Grigio. It is Sasha and Shrey approved as far as alcohol content. Because, of course, it is 13.5. We do make sure with that. But what Shrey is saying about our Bacardi tasting and how it actually fits in is because today we are talking about knowing your heritage and history and why that's important. And like, this one really hit home for me. I was actually having this conversation with another friend of mine on how do I make sure that I raise my son to be proud of his like blackness and Puerto Ricanness, because she's one of the few people that I know that grew up around all white folks. And literally I moved, everyone knows that we moved. And the neighborhood that we are in now, we are the only people of color in this neighborhood. Like,
for real, y'all. We went over and, like, we were met by her neighbors because I think they stood there waiting for us to get out of the car. So, like, they were like, it's so nice to have people on the block. And I was like, what do you mean people? There's a whole I was like, I know what you're saying, and I appreciate that you didn't
different people.
I appreciate that you didn't say, it's so nice to have some color around here, because that's literally, they were very sweet, y'all. It was the sweetest thing. They were like,
our neighbors actually,
see that there is a very sweet neighborhood, but it was just so funny because, like, for the notice, my husband is now, due to Rona, growing his hair out, and I've braided it. So this man looks like a full-fledged, like, hood nigga, even though he has degrees. He definitely does not look like he has degrees, or, you know,
he looked like he about that life.
He looked like he about a life that he's really not, because, you know, he has a wife and a family, and he looked like he in high school, as Sasha has
said. He does look like he's in high school, like, actually.
And then there's me, who natural hair, afro, all that. And I'm just like, we are definitely the most colored thing.
In my neighborhood are actually super nice. So it's no disrespect to any of them.
No, but we actually think that you do live in a nice neighborhood, and it's not a sundown town.
But I do worry about Stokely because I was having this conversation with my coworker, so you know who that is. Because she grew up in a predominantly white place, and then she was like, oh, well, you're the only person I know that grew up around all black people. And because her other two friends that I know, they grew up in Montgomery County.
That tells me so much.
Well, because her other two friends are like, they grew up in Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? I was like,
but Montgomery County has a high Latino. Okay.
So
all right.
I was like, I'm asking her, I'm like, what do you mean that they grew up around all white people? I was like, I didn't grow up around all white people. I grew up around all black people. And she was like, well, you grew up in PG County. I said, you know what? That makes sense, because everybody I know grew up around all black people.
Yeah, but I'm like, everyone, even Montgomery County, I would see if she said white and Hispanic or Latino, because
they're definitely more Latino.
Like,
in Montgomery County.
I'm sitting here like, what? That's why my face was like that, because I said, well, they must have lived in Montgomery County.
Nah, they lived in like Silver Spring, Rockville.
Then I don't understand. Okay, carry on. I just was trying to make sense of it.
And so, like, and I think Sheree and I would probably say that we did grow up differently than probably most people of color. And I didn't realize that until I've gotten older. Like, mm-hmm. being from PG County, Maryland, it's the wealthiest black county in the country.
Correct.
And so me, I'm obviously Puerto Rican. So no matter where I grew up in Maryland, I've always been the only, or like one of two, Spanish, like, mm-hmm. point blank. So that's always been what I've been used to. But it is a little weird for me to be the only family of color, because my neighbors have always been like other black people, or like black, white, yeah. black, white. Like,
exactly. Like, you grew up in a neighborhood where it was more common to see white people moving in and being like, oh, and now you are experiencing the other side of,
yes.
Oh, you're the black person that they're like, who's that Belgium truck?
Yes,
oh,
pretty much.
Oh,
pretty
those much. Are our neighbors. I mean, look, like you said, it's where you live, there are a lot of older people. So I think that, like, you're still in Maryland, even though you're now in Anne Arundel, which Yeah,
we got some Trump signs out here. As soon as you enter the county,
as someone said, as someone pointed out, you have the opioid crisis like counter. Yeah. Like they have the opioid crisis counter that you pass going to her house, and they was like, "I've never seen that anywhere." And I said, "I mean, it's like a thing that happens everywhere." And he was just like, "Whatever." So, but then there's me who grew up in DC in Northwest, and even my experience of growing up, because I did not grow up privileged, didn't know I didn't grow up privileged until I was older. I grew up around other Black people, others, no, actually Black, Spanish, and white. Because
what
remember,
do you think
I went
was,
to, so I went to a
predominantly
school.
It was though,
it
like
was
in
mixed.
Your neighborhood,
like,
in your neighborhood.
Oh, in my neighborhood, to be honest, I have, like, it was a mix because where I grew up, there's a lot of Spanish, there's a lot of Ethiopian.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
And that's always been it. There's a lot of Spanish, there's a lot of Ethiopian and Eritrean.
Eutrean?
Eritrea. It's a country in Africa that is, like, next to Ethiopia. It's very small.
Huh. I was about to say, that must be a little one. I ain't never heard of that one.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not afraid to say that I'm ignorant about something.
Well, okay, so the reason that I know the difference is, and the only reason I know the difference is because people from Eritrea don't like to be grouped with Ethiopian because they're their own country, which I get. So that's the only reason, because I've grown up with, but that's why I said, if you want to say I grew up around a mostly Black.
But you grew up around diverse.
I grew up around diverse because I went to magnet school. So while I didn't go to my neighborhood schools. So in my neighborhood, I went to school in Georgetown. And then I went to school in Tinleytown. So I went to Hardy and then I went to Wilson. So anyone who's listening from the area understands that those areas are diverse.
Yeah.
So that's why I said the only place that I remember going to school with like mostly Black, all Black is elementary school.
So
but then after that, I went to Georgetown and Tinleytown. So it was Black, white. All
Let me ask you this then. Do you think, you know, Brendan obviously is going to a Catholic school. He's going to go to private school.
Yep, he is.
His private school is predominantly Black, yeah?
Yes.
And y'all plan on living in PG County whenever y'all buy a house. Do you think it's as important or something that you need to teach Brendan like about like y'all like Black culture, or because of where he's growing up it'll just be something that like,
so because he's around it you think like no so yes I think it's very important no matter whether you live around Black people. I could be in an all Black neighborhood and still I would say teaching culture is important because number one, schools don't teach it.
Mm-hmm.
Like period, like schools don't teach culture and schools don't teach Black heritage the same way that we do. And it's not only, I think of it as two layers. There is Black heritage that's like our universal heritage that all of us have as Black people or people of color or other, like everyone
Others.
Has a universal, yes, we all have a history in this country that, you know, most people kind of are now aware of if you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the other part is I think of even just knowing the heritage and how it connects personally to him.
Mm.
So like, that's the same thing. When I think of knowing your heritage, I think of not only just knowing that like your Black heritage, but also knowing like, where did your family come from? Because
so
I have.
What I was getting ready to ask you. Have you ever like looked into, or even Cyrus, like where and I mean this in the best way possible because I love you. Like where you was owned at.
Like. Yeah, like yeah, yeah, yes. Where we got our name from? Yes. So for those who don't
or like
know,
what plantation your people's was from.
Yes, that's
like,
what. So my mother. So background. My father is from New Orleans and Mississippi. Mm-hmm. He was born in Jackson, like or more so around that area, Mississippi, and then grew up in New Orleans. So they are all of them are still down here. So if you know my last name is technically French or French
Creole.
It's Creole. Exactly. So I know that we have history down there. Now, if I look at trace back my maiden name, oh, we got white and some others and
of course,
like that, you know, all over. And then there's my mother's side of the family that I know was in North Carolina. And my grandmother moved from North Carolina, actually around Greensboro. So that's the reason. Knowing my heritage is the reason I went to A&T.
Mm. because which we will talk about more on our next episode.
Exactly.
Or one of our episodes coming up when we talk about HBCUs.
Yeah, but that's the reason why I went there, because not only about where I wanted to go, and I was like, I could be closer to my family. I was like, I have family in New Orleans, which obviously has HBCUs. But then I was like, I don't want to be that far from home.
Yeah.
And North Carolina was a good medium ground. And then I found out that my grandfather went there. So it's like those little connections that even though I didn't know him,
yeah,
I can... something. So yeah, I believe it's always important to know your heritage, because I don't think it's I think it's important for us to teach our heritage to our children, because I don't trust that anyone else, even if they look like me, may get it right. Just because we already know all skin folk ain't kinfolk.
Yeah.
And I don't trust that. Like, I want to make sure you know that this is what's going on. And then if someone ever says, oh, did you know about, you know, Tulsa? Did you know about this? And I'm like, he would know.
Yeah.
These are the things that happen. And this is the reasons why, because we're looking at history. I mean, if we look right now, look at history being made, and we're looking at history repeating.
Yeah.
And
people like Marcus will say that he loves Stokely. Marcus is my best friend. Y'all have heard his name before. That he loves.
It's his godfather.
Yeah. He loves Stokely's name. For the simple reason that when Stokely grows up and tells people what his name is, and they ask, like, and because I've had the question already, when they ask, oh, you know, where does your name come from? And he says Stokely Carmichael, and people don't know who that is. He gets a chance to explain it to people.
I promise you that I know that you told me, you said in a previous episode where people think the name came from. But I'm like, so the first thing I think of, and I guess it's because I'm a black person. Yeah, exactly. The first man that everyone thinks of is Mint Condition. The first person that I think of is Stokely Carmichael, who the Stokely from Mint Condition was probably also.
Probably, yeah. You know? Yeah. There's not so many Stokelys. It's like, Stokely, I think there was like three people named Stokely in 2016. Like, it's a very.
Definitely has got a name that, you know, will spark some.
White people definitely. When I tell white people, you know, oh, his name's Stokely, oh, is that a family name? Because they're like, I've never heard that shit before. And then I'm like, no, like, it's Stokely Carmichael. He was, you know, founder of the Black Power movement and, like,
yeah, the Black Panther. You know why I love it, to be honest? Like, my reason I love it is because
it's so unexpected when you look at him, too.
It's so unexpected, but also it's the fact that it's going to make people squirm whether you want them to or not. And I just love a reason to make people squirm, not just black, but not just white people, anyone who's uncomfortable with talking about race and all that stuff. I just love it. It's like,
that's something, you know, when we talk about knowing your heritage and your history, that was something that was important to my husband. Mm-hmm. That's why he picked his name to be that, because he wanted his name to be powerful, and he wanted his name to invoke something from other people. And that, you know, people are going to hear his name, and the minute he tells them who it's from, like, automatically people be like, oh, your family must really feel a certain way.
look, it's this one at the door. Check everything you think at the door.
And he said that if his middle name wasn't after my father, he was gonna find some Puerto Rican revolutionary, and that was gonna be his middle name.
But that's the other thing I was getting ready to bring up. His middle name ties, like, Stokely's name is a perfect mix of, like, his entire heritage.
Yep.
And his, like, middle that's name where is, I was just like,
is Emilio, which was my dad's name. And I mean, Emilio is such a Spanish.
He definitely looks more like an Emilio sometimes than Stokely, but at the same time.
But I wanted him to have, like, obviously I wanted him to have my dad's name, but you know, it's so important to me. And I think I've talked about this before. I'm sure I have. Like, I thought Stokely was going to be this little caramel color baby who was not going to look as Spanish.
How she
I didn't think he was going to look as Spanish as
But
he
here's
does.
The thing, Sasha, you number one a full Spanish, and it ain't like Richard is a chocolate drop of, like, blackness. I'm saying, like, if y'all have seen, like, you might have seen his picture every once in a while. She's done a few features where he's been on. Like, he's not like
I don't know. Now that I think about it, because I'm also
caramel skin. So caramel and white color. I'm like, you put that together. It don't make too, darker, but at the same time, I do get where you come from because yes, it could have gone anywhere.
Well, I guess I don't know what I expected because also when you think about Rajesh and his daughter and his wife Ashley is definitely a chocolate drop, and their daughter is probably the same color as Stokely.
It's like it's one of those things where it's just like, I mean, I'm just saying.
But like, I was convinced that Stokely was going to be this little caramel color baby, and I knew that we were going to stay in PG County, and I knew he was going to be immersed in Black culture, mm-hmm. and I was like, it was so important for me to make sure that he knew his Spanish side, which
that's
is
what I was going to say. You've always been worried more so, not about the knowing your Black, his Black
heritage. Oh, I think he'll know that. No
because,
problem.
Like, because of where we live, because of where he's growing up and how many of, you know, you are, like, pretty much you are one of two Puerto Ricans of a group of Black people. Black so, home. Like, there was definitely, like, even his aunties, like, he is going to confuse, he is going to confuse people so
I don't have any siblings, so all of his aunties are Black.
Siblings. No siblings, so all his aunties are Black, and then he got cousins or friends, like, all these friends, and they are Black, and he's
all
like,
his all his aunties and uncles are Black. He has one Titi and one Theo, yes. And that's it.
And so it's one of those things where you're just like,
Yeah, I don't worry about him knowing.
The Black side was never a problem, but you also, and I remember we had this conversation before, and it is true, especially with children of mixed heritage. They always feel like they have to pick, mm-hmm. or they come grow up feeling like, you're Black. I mean, like a lot of people even say like, oh, well, I mean, he's Black and he'll be Black. And it's like, no, he's Afro-Latina.
I mean, I get it now. I hear it now because people will tell me, even now, like, oh, but you're raising a Black son. And I get that.
Yes,
I get that.
You are. Obviously.
But he's not just Black. Like, he has a whole 50% of him.
He is a Black son. He falls into the Black category. You're surely right. But it's like, he's not just like, you are not Black. So therefore he cannot be fully Black.
That's why I'm very like, if you ever see me talk about him or you hear me talk about him, whenever I talk about him on social media, I refer to him as an Afro-Latino because that is what he is.
That's the definition
of an Afro-Latino. Like, he is of Black race, but Spanish ethnicity, like that is what he is, and so that's why I refer to him for that. But I do worry about me being discounted, like his
and I think that
Spanish
that's a very, very valid thing to feel, because at the end of the day, that is what I think that when we talk about heritage, that is the thing that always comes up, because one parent is going to be discounted if you just go with like someone being, oh, he's Black. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, so he's mixed. He is a child of mixed heritage. He is of two different heritages. So if you say, it's just like, if you were to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, we actually have seen this with celebrities and things like that, where, and I think back to the first person that came to my mind was Halle Berry. I don't know if you remember the situation where her daughter and her daughter,
gorgeous.
Yes, but her husband,
white. The guy was white.
Yeah, he was white, but he didn't want her to be referred to as mixed.
What did he want her to be?
What you think? It definitely was not mixed. It wasn't Black either. So he didn't like that people referred to her as
she
Black.
She is.
Or,
so you're just going to discount Halle?
Exactly. And it's like, oh, well, Halle is because she's also mixed. No.
It makes their daughter more white, but
and
she
so
still.
He, it was a big controversy about that, and I remember hearing that, and I was just like, ugh. It made me. But yes, it's
but
a very
see,
good
you
idea.
You see that a lot with people who are like, I think in our case we're a different kind of mixed because we're both.
Of
like,
color.
So he's a different kind of mix because he is of color. Like, no matter how you slice it, he's of color. Whereas, you know, Black and white folk mixed, like, you,
well,
most,
see, here's
you might clearly look one or the other.
Well, see, if we go into history, however, this is the
everybody's
reason why the Black,
mixed with white.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, everyone is mixed with white somewhere down the line. Like I said, I've traced my heritage back to the first mulatto.
Oh,
obviously. Yeah, yeah. We traced our heritage back to North Carolina, the people in North Carolina. And we got the first mulatto. But then after that, we don't know which white person to follow back, because obviously, like, you know, that's when it starts to get a little hazy. But the reason that I think that it's so a lot of people, and at least a lot of Black people, say, oh, even if you, you know, if your one parent is Black, you're Black. And the reason is because they've been discounted for so long. Yeah. And thinking about the history of African-Americans, passing the one drop rule. Is, yeah, the one drop rule, but passing is like...
Passing meant like so you had now, a better life.
Yeah, you had a better life. Yeah. You had easier opportunities and things like that. So the fact that like embracing the Blackness was always the big push. And now we're getting to the place where it's not exactly just needing to embrace your Blackness.
No, it's embrace all of it. You need to embrace all of it. Embrace your
Blackness, but also you can be white too. It's because it's okay now to be white too. It's okay. It's okay to be white too. It's okay to be, like, we didn't have that.
My cousin got her ancestry DNA done. Mm-hmm. And she sent it to me recently because it gets updated. If you get your ancestry done through ancestry DNA, as more people, you know, do their DNA, your stuff will start to update because obviously more people are doing it, and especially for people of color, because a lot of the people who do DNA stuff of are white people. So as more people of color do it, it starts to update. And you're probably like, well, but that's your cousin who did it, why does that matter to you? So they trace your DNA through the mother. It's your maternal DNA. And so my cousin and I, it's my mom's sister, her daughter. So it's literally the same mother line is where it's coming from. So I'm never going to do mine. But coincidentally, so she just sent me, this was on Friday, her updated, we are 34% from Portugal, which doesn't surprise me because
I was gonna say, sounds about right.
The next one is 18% from Spain. Sounds which, right, if you well. Know anything about Portugal and Spain, they're right next to each other. It's called the Iberian Peninsula. At one point, all them people was all mixed. Like, it's probably sounds hard to right. tell yep. where they all come from. The third one, which really this is what makes me want to say I'm an Afro-Latino so bad, but I know I'm not, so I won't do it. But the third one coming in at 11% is from Cameroon, Congo, and the Western Bantu people. So our third place is Africa.
Hey, don't worry. Look, Sasha is over here trying to act like, look, she was happy. She would have been so sad if it came back like and England. It was like nothing. And you're like, what? Like the none? Well, like no drops?
I'm not dumb, right? Portugal and Spain are white countries. Like, mm-hmm. if you are a Spaniard or you Portuguese, you're white. Like, you're a white person. You just speak a different language. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm a white Hispanic. But I think it's interesting to me that, you know, those first two are from Portugal and Spain. Then it was Africa. Then 10% indigenous Puerto Rico, which is like the folks who was at Puerto Rico before anybody else got there, which makes me so happy because if y'all know me, y'all know I love being Puerto Rican. And the fact that 10% of my blood is indigenous to the island is amazing.
That lets you know that like things is real. I haven't done the ancestry. And so here's the thing that I'm not going to go into my, I'm not doing it. I want to.
I'm not doing it.
I want to, but no. I would have to be the one to do it because no one else in my family would do it. So it's like, if there's anyone who's going to do it. So, you know, they have the African ancestry DNA.
They do. Yeah, they try to do you to your tribe.
So here's the thing. I kind of want to do that. So there has been many a times, like, I've been told, like, based on my look, based on everything, like, I grew up in a neighborhood that had a lot of Ethiopian.
That's your Ethiopian?
And they were like, even my name, like, which well, obviously
it's your eyes.
It's my eyes and my forehead.
I don't know. No,
it's the forehead.
I could see why they would say that because
so
eyes.
They look and like yes, I do, and they look and they're just like, are you sure? Like they said, if you trace your heritage back, I'm pretty sure. So I've always wanted to test that. Yeah. But also on top of that, there's been many a time. So like my mother had a coffee book, one of the coffee table books that had like all of the African people and their like beautifulness and everything. And I promise you, this is why I said, I know I'm definitely from Africa somewhere, because we turned a page one time and I swore I saw my father. It was not my father. But you know how you look and you're like, no, I showed my brother and I was like, no.
I saw some
like you look and you be like.
It was some Facebook or Instagram thread where it was like this woman was African. She was like showing different celebrities and was like, tell me so-and-so isn't from this country
in Africa. Yes,
another person from that country.
And yes.
Like, oh, like they look like they come straight from this country. And
yes.
And I'm almost positive. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if you had Ethiopian in you, because people from African countries know what their people look like.
And,
like,
and that's the only reason that I would trust that, because like when I say it's been my entire life from when I was a baby all the way to like being grown. Like, it was just one of those things where they're like, you look like my aunt, my cousin.
Who, you know, doesn't sound Puerto Rican at all. When I meet other Spanish people and like legit like speak Spanish from Spanish countries or like raised around other Spanish people Spanish, the minute I start talking, they'll ask me, you know, oh, where's your family from? Are you Puerto Rican? Like, they automatically know that I'm Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, when going, so, you know, I was born in the States. I was born in Maryland. But getting on a plane to go to Puerto Rico and getting off of the plane in the island is literally, to me, how I think Black people feel when they go to Africa. Like, I literally feel as if, like, oh, I am with my people. Because
you actually
everybody...
said that about when your Richard goes to
Africa.
Ghana.
Yeah.
Because
everybody looks like me. Like, they all, like, we're the same complexion. Like, we... the mannerisms, even for somebody who was raised here, the way that we express ourselves is the same. Like, the way that we talk loud, the way that we like to dance, the way that, you know, we like color, like all of that is just my people.
And that's the thing where it's like, so that's the reason why knowing your heritage, and the reason that I look at knowing my heritage, like, I haven't had Brendan go down to New Orleans yet. I mean, of course, I wanted to go. There was one time we were going to go, like last year or so, it was like, oh, I could go. We had a wedding or something down in New Orleans. And I was like, oh my gosh, this would be the perfect time. But me and Brandon just said, we're going to make an actual trip, because I want him to know that side. And then the thing is that it's so many of my family. When I say that,
and being from New Orleans is like its own special kind of culture.
It is the, like, when I say that, I like, so my friends who went to school down there, and I know my friends who have gone to school down there was like, I'm pretty sure I was in school with your cousin. And I said, last name same. Yeah. Face. I said, they got a forehead. I said, yeah, you're definitely my friend. That's probably my kinfolk. It's definitely, like, we are massive. And the reason I say that is because my dad had 12 brothers and sisters. You can't throw a rock without hitting one of us down there. Okay, like, literally. But then you go over to Jackson and they have farmland over there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we are all spread out across this. And that is so important. Like, I remember growing, like, I didn't even remember how many times I've gone down there. I thought that the first time I went to New Orleans and everything was when I was 14. My dad and my mom were like, no, you were a baby, you've gone there when you were, but like the first time you went, you was like in my arms. I said, oh. And they said, and then the next time you was like walking around, you were crawling around on the farm. And I said, I was crawling around on a farm. Yeah.
See, what I think is amazing, same coworker who I work with, her family actually owns the plantation that her family was owned in like South Carolina. I think that's dope shit, and I read something too about like some Broadway star or something, like, he bought his family's plantation cash money,
and now like it's that, like, they're changing the history.
And I think that's awesome, like, to be able to trace, because that's one of the things, unfortunately, that when it comes to Sheree or myself, because our stories are the same, whether it's on the island or here, we get to a certain point where we can't go back any further.
Like, those people who could sit back, like, I love Henry Louis Gates, like his tracing, you know, where he does tracing back, and he could say which person was related to like King Louis III or, you know, that's awesome. I was like, that's so great that I would never be able to experience.
We can't do that.
Because I don't know, like, and that's what I think is missing from so many of us. Like, we don't have we don't have that same connection. Yeah, we can go to Africa, but where in Africa? Because also that's the other part. It's not like I can just say, oh, if I go to South Africa, I'm going to feel home.
Because I mean, Africa is such a huge country. Expensive. Like, it's not, people put Africa and be like, oh, you from Africa. Like, no, like there's like 50 countries in Africa.
North Africa, East,
and they have their distinct, they have their distinct own cultures, languages.
Central Africa is not the same as West. It's not the same as like the Francophone countries. It's not the same as Ethiopia or like
the Middle Eastern Africa. Like, yeah, it's very
not the same
different.
As Northern. It's not, no.
Yeah. And then, I mean, that's the same thing with my family. I mean, I know that my family, my grandparents on both sides came to the States from Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at what point we got to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how far back, like, was it my great-great or, like, my great-great-great? Like, I don't know how far back it was. No, so, and I will probably never know that because a lot of my family is no longer around. So trying to trace that is even harder. Like, trying to trace names, especially in Spanish culture. Like, we're a little bit different than y'all whose names were changed. A lot of our names are the fucking same. So trying to find you, my maiden name is Estrada. That is, that's like damn near the half of the island.
That's Smith. That's Smith and Jones over there.
Yeah, like, see, trying to find that.
Ours is, so the hard part about ours is that, and Brandon has experienced this tracing back his family, because his mother is tracing back their family. And, you know, there's a lot of expansive history, and both of us ran into the same thing, because his family hails from South Carolina on their side. So it's like, we go from the South. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. But the names change, and more so the names are misspelled depending on who writes it. So you might have Sarah, but then it might be Sarai, or you have Hattie, but then it's like, you don't, and depending on who checked whoever took the census that year, you might have someone say they was 27, then they jumped to be 25, and you just like, I don't know. So you have to do so much cross-checking to see. And I mean, my father's side and my mother's side, I've traced them back pretty damn far. Like, for my mother's side, I've traced them back to like 18, like the very first census where they included blacks. So I know
that's
that
awesome,
I know that it's so
but
important.
It's like,
I want to go further. And I'm like, that's the other thing. And then, but then also the second part of that is, I don't want to go that far because I don't trust that they're using, like, when you go with this African ancestry DNA and everything, I'm sorry, then all of my heritage also goes into all the experiments and all the tracking. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all doing with this. Man. And I know that they've already said that certain things, like, oh yes, we keep this for, you know, you sign a third party relationship.
I read a very interesting article from in the Post about a white woman who had begun tracing her history, and she ended up, unbeknownst to her, she really thought she was somehow one of the good white people, that her family had owned slaves, and she managed to like track.
Did she think they didn't?
I guess because she was from up north, and so she didn't think that they did.
See, this is another reason that white people also need to know their heritage. See,
yeah, she was like floored that they owned slaves at some point.
See, and that's the thing that kind of blows my mind. I'm like, okay, so when it splits, I'm shocked when I find if my people own slaves.
So
I don't see how you're shocked. Like, I'd be shocked if I was like,
But she then, like, she found like the slaves information that her family had owned, and then was able to trace back from the slaves family forward into like present day. And she tried to like reach out and make this connection because they were actually family, because of course, you know, folks rape folks. And so
thank
they
you for
at some point
the right term. I just
yes
want you
they
to know.
Raped
I'm
they
sorry
were raped.
I hate that it's like, yes, they had relationships.
They raped. I'm gonna keep saying it.
Rape, pillage, and took advantage of. Like,
so, but her family was connected, and she ended up reaching out to the other family. And I think she got to one level where they didn't want anything to do with her. They were, you know, like, nah. I feel like that would be Cyrus, like, colonizer. No.
I was gonna say, like, no. Brandon will want money.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to write off of some stuff, but what is
she actually was able to like make a connection with somebody else. And I think for that other family, it probably was eye-opening because they probably got to go back to a certain point in their history mm-hmm. that they probably wouldn't have been able to do had she not done the work. Mm-hmm. But that's the unfortunate part about being a person of color in this country is that we will only ever be able to go back so far.
And I want you to say that. And also I would say that this is also an American issue.
Yes, yes.
Because when we talk about like knowing your history, this is different from if you are across, you know, overseas or somewhere else. Like if you were a part of the American chattel slavery system, mm-hmm. or, and I say American as in North America.
North America.
Okay. Yeah. I have to say North America because all of that's in there. If you were a part of it, you lost every single mm-hmm. piece of your history. They stripped
history. The moment somebody was put on that
boat. They purposefully stripped you of your history. Yep. They purposefully shaved your hair, like everything that we have. So our braids, our everything, our song, our music, our dance, that's the things that we like that they now say is like
appropriate. The things that are culturally appropriated, the reason why we hold on to them so hard is because it's all that we have of our culture.
I remember reading an article recently and I've read it before. But you know how things come back around and you're like, oh, I do remember reading that. So it's like the history, the importance of hair braiding and cornrowing and how they used to put seeds and food and things into the braids so that, you know, it was a roadmap. Number one, it was a roadmap to the north. But then on top of that, it was like where you would put food and snacks so that you undo it. And now you have something to eat for when you became famished. I'm like, man, we were just genius. And this is the reason why when they say, you know, I'm not my ancestors, I know now I understand why that is a slight in people. Like a lot of people don't like that phrase now because they're like, our ancestors were badass. Like people say it, and I know that people are saying it as in like we are not the non-violent.
Yes.
In terms of you run up on me, you're gonna get knocked.
I'm gonna say this to kind of close out the episode. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two things. One, we are our ancestors' wildest dreams. Mm-hmm. Because they never would have been able to dream of where we are.
Yeah.
Both Sheree and I literally and like people of color.
Yes.
But the fact that we are here means that our ancestors survived so much in order for us to be here. Like I think of like Sheree and Cyrus's family and to know that their people were beaten on somebody's plantation. Mm-hmm. Sheree and Cyrus's probably have grandmothers who were, you know, great, great, great mm-hmm. extension grandmothers who were raped. You know, they probably were wet nurses to white babies. Like they experienced that, but somebody kept pushing and
joined together, and here we are. And it's like that's what you think of. It's like our bloodlines even like did not die out. Like and so the amount of things that we survived, and like and the same with you, it's like the things that we survived and then continue to thrive in every adversity. Oh, my husband, my son knows is going to know his heritage because our sons need to know their heritage just so that they know, like, oh, sweetie, you come from greatness.
I mean, you know, and I'll say this because I know Cyrus loves to go on me now because of where I live. Yes, I have a house on the water. It's an expensive house, but
she bougie, but she ain't forgotten where
bougie.
She is.
But my parents. Mm-hmm. My grandparents would never have thought that this would be something that would be possible for anyone in their lifetime. Like I hear my father-in-law say that about Richard, you know, the fact that we were able to do this at the age that we're able to do this, never in a lifetime did they even fathom that that was a possibility.
And to be honest, that is the point that your parents want. Like my mother looks at me and Brandon and like every day she's like absolutely happy that I have degrees.
Well, that's what we're still breaking barriers. I'm the only one in my family who ever went to college. You know what I'm saying?
So like, and I'm like the one who my mom went to college, but she didn't use her degree. She just did not everything that she wanted. So I'm using my degree. I'm doing what I want. I'm living my life. I'm married with a child. I'm thriving. I'm over here like, yeah, you know, getting my life like where I'm like, you know what? I'm getting ready to buy a house. And she's just sitting here like, there is no amount of happiness that she could describe to see me thriving every day.
And that goes into why it's so important for us to teach our children about their heritage, about their history, because when things like this, that for some people seem so regular, are accomplished, mm-hmm. in some families, it is something that's unfathomable. Like, mm-hmm. it's a dream that's almost unreachable to a lot of people. And we want to teach that history because to show like how far we've to been let able you know, like, to
when
come.
We say you stand on the shoulders of giants, we mean that shit.
Yeah.
And it's like also to tie it back to the lads at one of our previous episodes of breaking generational curses, that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're breaking these curses and these cycles every single day that I achieve something, every single day that I wake up and I make it through another day, I am doing what
you're furthering
so
your ancestors.
Many people. Exactly. My bloodline shall continue.
Side note, before we close out the episode, I just read, because this is just reminding me of this, because he's Black Panther. I just read Chadwick Boseman's wife may be pregnant.
I saw that and I was like,
is amazing.
I almost cried. I want you to know.
If she is, I think that is both sad and amazing at the same time.
Mm-hmm. But if she is, then it means like that, like that was intentional.
Of course it was. Yeah.
And it's just like, oh
yeah. Black Panther lives on Wakanda forever.
Absolutely. Amen.
So we would love to hear about your heritage, your history, your culture, like what is important to you to teach your kids, like what is important for you to keep going in your family, all of that stuff. Like I know for us, Christmas holiday traditions, like we are really big into all of that stuff. So we would love to hear that. You can email us at hello@swirlistpodcast.com. I'm sure there's comments going on right now over on Instagram @swirlistpodcast. If you do not subscribe, please subscribe to the podcast. You can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. We are on Amazon Music and Alexa will play us if you ask
Alexa
us to.
All of them.
Make sure that you rate and review, because that is how other people find the podcast. Please rate and review us. It would mean so much to us if you do.
Please do.
Yes, please do. Like, we really would appreciate you.
Like, we know y'all love us. Can y'all let other people know y'all love us? That's all
yes,
we want
to
try to do.
Yes, it helps other people find the podcast, because we got big hopes for Swirl and Sip. Like, we try to do some big things, and it helps us if you rate and review us. But yeah, just make sure you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.